Hey guys, this is Dara.
And I'm Alex.
And we're ready to get intimate.
And get into it.
We want to know what's really going on behind the highlight reel.
Like what you fight about.
How you make up.
What drives you crazy.
And how to keep it fresh.
Now, we're no relationship experts.
We're probably not even qualified to host this podcast.
But we've made it our mission to interview all the couples we know.
And meet.
To find out how love really works.
Ready?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, welcome to our first episode.
Hello, what's up?
What's going on? I feel like it's probably proper that we introduce ourselves.
Proper. Is it proper?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
My name is Dara Crystal.
And I'm Alex Swenson.
And I own a low-rise, body-positive, size-inclusive hosiery line based here in Seattle. I patented a waistband on tights to make them feel more comfortable. And I do that on top of a couple other side hustles.
I am a working musician and I'm kind of a jack of all trades with everything else. I detail cars at the moment, but in our current situation, we are having to work a couple jobs, but we are still chasing our passion.
So. Totally. Yeah, we were both working full-time and we decided to kind of minimize our life. We're living with my dad at the moment. Lots of topics.
It's not so bad. It sounds bad when you say it.
He's great. He's awesome. Like the best roommate.
He's great.
Yeah. My dad's a DJ, so
He's 69 years old, and he's a professional DJ.
I think he's 68. I don't know. Anyway, he's up there at the DJ age. And we decided to move back in with my dad so that we could save up, because our ultimate goal is, do you want to say
we want to get an Airstream and go on tour so I can get my music out there more, and so she can kind of, I think, meet up with all the boutiques.
Yes.
Wherever I tour and kind of work both businesses at the same time.
We just want to live on the road.
Yeah, want to travel.
We're free spirits.
We want to see the world. We're not getting any younger.
We're in our 30s.
Yeah. We're like in the middle of approaching that midlife crisis.
Oh no. So Alex and I met in junior high.
Yes.
Which is, I don't know how many years ago, but we graduated high school in 2004. And it is 2018. So that was like 14 years ago.
Yes, but we didn't really hang out in junior high. I knew of you.
Yeah.
I knew who you were, but...
Same.
Yeah, we never hung out until later on.
No, you were like a skater kid.
The weird part is
I was in trouble.
I knew her because her mom would pick me up and take me to the skate park with my buddies, which sounds weird.
It's super
and
weird.
And it is weird.
It is weird.
But
my mom's
she
weird.
Had good intentions. She just wanted to hang out with the kids, and she was a DJ as well.
She was definitely not a pedophile, but she picked
a bunch of
kids
super
up
cool
in a
and like
DJ
that,
van.
I just knew that Karen was Dara's mom, and Karen was cool as shit, so her kids were probably cool, but we never hung out until later.
No, you're a troublemaker. I was goody two-shoes. I was trying to get straight A's in school and just like work my little buns off.
Yeah.
And just hung out in different circles.
Yeah. I wasn't doing that.
Yeah, no. But then, okay, so we should probably get into how we met after that. Okay. So we met in junior high, but we started dating 2.5 years ago.
Yes, we bumped into each other at a bar called Bumpy's, ironically.
In Puyallup. It's the shittiest bar.
Yeah.
It's literally...
Oh, it's one of them. There's a lot of shitty bars.
In Puyallup.
It's it's top three shitty.
It's probably the shittiest
one. It's on Shitty Walk, so...
It's so tiny, you guys. You walk into this bar, and there's just one alley, like one row that you can walk down. And to your left is the bar, and to the right are just tables. And it's the size of a living room. Like, it's not very big at all. And so you literally bump into people there.
Yeah, it's called Bumpy's.
Yeah, for a reason, probably.
It's all good, though. I mean, I met the love of my life at Bumpy's. And
I don't know if we should ever repeat that. But yeah, So, funny story, I was married and divorced, and 3 years ago, I decided to move back in with my dad after, you know, going through selling my house and everything. So that brought me back to a hometown again. And I went out to the bars, and that's when I ran into Alex, and he was just, you just so happened to be single too, right?
Oh, yeah.
During
the
time.
Yeah, I was
okay,
single.
I hope so.
I was single.
Yeah, so I remember when I first saw you and Kyle walk in the bar, I was like, oh, hey, friends from junior high. And I don't remember specifically what you said to me when you first came over, but it was something along the lines of, like, it's been a minute, and oh my god, you're, like, cute, and I forgot.
I think I sounded like that.
No, I thought that in my head. Yeah. That's what I sounded like. Okay. Yeah. But then you asked me to go smoke in your car, and I was like, ooh, this guy's still a troublemaker.
Yeah, and she tried to act all innocent, like she didn't know how to use a pipe.
Yeah,
she's like, does my finger go here?
I was like, I don't know how to work this.
Do I breathe in?
I don't know how to work this thing. I've never smoked marijuana before.
I wasn't buying it. I was like, she's at Bumpy's.
Yeah.
Nobody here is like, I'm just going to have water.
Yeah, everyone's having
like a clear mind.
Multiple $2 beers.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we hang out, then we leave, because you're with your boys, and I'm with my girls, mm-hmm. and so we leave, and then you message me on Facebook, because we don't have each other's phone numbers, you know?
You know, the funny thing is,
what?
We left, and I immediately wanted to text you, and I was under the impression that, like, you can't text immediately.
But you didn't have my number.
I knew you, I sent you a message on Facebook.
Facebook.
Yeah. And I told Kyle, I was like, I think I'm going to send her a message. And he was like, yeah, well, yeah, dude. Like, well, yeah, it's 2018. Like, well,
that's what he said.
He was like, yeah, it's like, dude, you got to.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know what to say. And so Kyle was like, kind of helped me out. And
he knew I had
I was
a dog. He knew
he
I had
like,
a dog, and that was
dog.
Like the
and
intro.
I was like, I got a dog. So that's a good intro.
That's a good
that's
baseline.
A good icebreaker. And so I think that's how I started it.
You did. You were like, hey, Kyle told me you have a dog.
Yeah.
And this was at like 1 a.m.
Sweet.
So
yeah.
I like left and I was like on my way home and I was like, oh, he messaged me on Facebook. That means he's into me.
And then we had a dog walk.
Yeah.
Date.
The next day. You were like.
I was like on it. I was like, I'm going to.
That was real quick. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to wrap this one up real quick.
I was like, all right. Okay, so we're at the dog park and I'm thinking like, are we just old junior high friends hanging out or is this a date? I don't know. And we're walking around the dog park with our dogs and they're super cute and like having fun. And okay, so we should probably describe. I have a King Charles Bichon mix. She's called a Cavachon. And
I have a black lab.
My dog's name is Lola. Your dog's name is Charlie.
Mr. Charlie.
They're so cute. They're like the happiest, sweetest puppies ever.
Just a biracial. Like,
well, yeah.
They love each other.
They loved each other. And I was just like, yeah, this guy's good with his dog, and I like my dog, and this is cool. But then I was like, I don't know if you are into me. Because you kept playing
Here's
your
the
music.
Thing.
You were like, hey. I did a Justin Bieber cover. You should check it out.
Here's the thing is I'm like shy and I'm nervous around girls and
you literally whipped out your phone and played me your Justin Bieber cover.
That's the only
cover.
Thing I know how to do.
And I was like, this guy's so into himself. I was like, does he want me to help him promote his music or does he like want to go on a date or like
I
what's
just
going on
recorded
here?
The song and I was like, I'm trying to impress her, so like what better way to just show her something I'm good at?
You did sound like Justin Bieber. I was impressed. I was. But then I was like, yeah, is he like into himself or like,
no,
I
was
know.
Just nervous. I was nervous.
You were nervous.
Shy and didn't really know how to like start the conversation. So
I think we bonded over the fact that both of our dads like are not into technology and like won't pay their bills online and like still send their bills in via like check. And
They still have MapQuest.
Yeah, and your dad, like, still listens to, like, AM, FM radio.
Yeah,
and
that's what he wanted for Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't want anything crazy. I just want a portable CD player.
Uh-huh. Like,
they sell that shit anymore.
Yeah.
I think we went to, what, Target or something?
We went to Target.
Walmart,
your mom
Target.
Just said they just
And I was like, I need a CD player. And he was like,
no, not a CD player, just an AM, FM radio.
Oh, yeah.
Even more back than that. Even more behind than a CD player.
AM, I just want an AM, FM radio.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
I mean, our dads are just simple. Simple guys, you know?
Anyways.
So, that was our first date. And then, I think over the next few days, we were hanging out still a lot. You invited me to sushi in Lakewood.
Yeah.
Which is a very weird place to get sushi. I wasn't a fan. I was like,
it's one of my favorite.
I have a bias where I'm like, if I'm not eating sushi next to a source of water,
most
or like
people
near
think
water,
Lakewood doesn't have a, but it's like Chinatown there.
I mean, I don't know. They're
on
I'm just
that
like,
block.
I had sushi in Enum Claw once, and it was just not. I just feel like you shouldn't eat sushi, not next to water. I don't know. Is that weird?
No,
anyway.
I mean,
okay, so that was our second date. Still no moves being made. Then
I made moves.
No.
It just
you sat on the other side of the table from me. Didn't even hold my hand.
It'll be like
I thought this was like a business deal. Like I don't even know what it was. And then
okay.
It was our third
okay.
date. We went bowling.
Yeah.
And that was fun. It was more interactive, I think. And
yeah, because you kicked the shit out of me. I think you scored like 215.
Did you let me win?
You scored like a 215, and I had 98.
Did you let me win, though?
That's not letting somebody win. That's
I
getting
know,
raped.
Were you like trying to be like cute about it?
No.
I really whipped your butt.
Yeah.
Anyway, that happened.
Fuck
and
this.
Then I didn't think I leaned in for the first kiss. I think you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was cute.
I think I initiated that one.
Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, he wants to be more than friends. But it took me forever to figure it out. Anyway, that's how we met. That's how our relationship kicked off. And we're dating a year. We did not live together.
No.
You were living with your friend.
Yeah.
I was living with my dad for a minute, and then I got my own apartment. And you would come over, but you still had your own place.
Yeah, like normal.
Yeah.
Normal
yeah.
relationship.
Yeah. Then about a year in of us dating, things got a little bit rocky.
Yeah, things got rocky.
Things got a little bit rocky.
So, I had been a recovering addict before I had met Dara. I went to inpatient when I was around 25. We met when I was around 29.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd been out of inpatient and I'd been off and on clean and I was using really bad stuff. I was doing really bad things and I was really good at hiding it. And
I had no idea.
I had
no idea. I mean, I knew that you used before just from like going to your shows.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you were on something.
Yeah.
And so when we first started dating, I was like, be honest. Are you doing anything? And you're like, no, I'm not doing anything. And I totally, you know, that's like one of the hardest things we always come back to. But I think it was really hard for you. I'm just speaking for you. But I think it was, I'm going to pretend this is why. But I think it was really hard for you because you're like, oh, I met this awesome girl. And
yeah, well, that was the thing. I knew I would lose you and I knew what I had. Like, you know, when you got something good. And, like, you know, if I would have told you up front that, like, I was a recovering addict and I am still off and on using and I struggle with it, you'd have been like,
see ya.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah, probably.
So I waited a year.
Well, I think you thought you could get clean yourself.
I didn't wait the year. I mean, long
story.
Because
you tried, right? Like, you tried to get clean on your own.
Yeah. I mean,
and it just wouldn't work. Like, you tried Suboxone, you tried...
Yeah, I tried a lot of things, and it wasn't working, and it took me getting to a point where I was ready, and
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, it came at a really bad time.
Really?
While we were on vacation with family, and
yeah.
Long story short, I started withdrawing, yeah. And people knew what was going on and had to go to inpatient and get help. And at that point, our relationship was on the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
All I knew was that I wanted to do anything and everything to make it work.
And you know what's crazy is 6 months before you went to rehab, my mom went to rehab. So I had already kind of been through it. And even if you wanted to tell me, I was like having a meltdown about that situation.
Yeah, I think my mind was there too. I didn't want to do it because I knew you were already dealing with your mother. And I knew that you...
That would have been a lot.
Yeah, that would have been too much to handle. And I didn't want to lose you. So I figured I can handle this on my own.
Kept it to yourself, which they tell you in recovery, like, not to do. But... It's funny because even as much as I went to my mom's rehab and did the family programs and did the research, like, I still didn't know a whole lot about addiction and recovery until Alex went to rehab, and they had a really awesome family group program where you go for the weekend and they kind of have you follow them to their discussion groups and meetings and lectures, and you take classes and watch videos, and then you do couples therapy.
Yeah, which is really cool, because the first inpatient I went to didn't do that, and I think it was very beneficial to kind of see what it is that the addicts go through while they're in inpatient, because I think a lot of people have questions about, like, what it is that happens there.
Right. Well, it was kind of crazy because, okay, so right when you had withdrawals, you flew out, went to rehab, and, like, you had a whole week of blackout period, and I couldn't even talk to you. And so I'm still trying to, like, process all this in my head, like, what's happening? You know, luckily we have a lot of friends and family members who've been through similar stuff, so I could lean on them, and they're like, you need to go to Nar-Anon groups. So I went to Nar-Anon groups and got support from them. But there literally is nothing, like, out there research-wise or book-wise or group-wise that's, like, if you're in a relationship with someone who's in recovery, like, how do you make it work? Like, there's no tools.
Every case is different.
But there's no tools. You know what I mean?
I mean...
Like, I had nothing to go to that's, like, here's how you make it work in a relationship. Because they mostly tell you when you're in recovery to not date anyone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For how many months? Like 6?
Years.
A year? Years. Yeah. So pretty much everyone was like, you guys, I don't know if this is a good idea.
Well.
I will say the one thing that kind of, because I was really unsure what I was going to do when this whole thing went down. I was like, oh my God, you lied to me. Can't believe this happened. And, you know, I'm not trying to dig up the past right now, but I was like, I'm just doing this for retelling purposes. But I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you did this to me. And I'm not sure if we can, like, work this out. But then I'm like, I'm gonna go for the family weekend and just see what I learn. And then if I feel like I want to keep going after that, then I will. And we had been talking and writing letters, like, back and forth while you were in rehab.
Like pen pals.
That was cool, actually. I really like that. We should do that again, but, like, from our house. No? Anyway, so we're writing letters, and then I get there, and we're, like, in the guest bedroom. They let the patients come out to the guest bedroom area. And you came over and you played me a song that you were writing, and it was called Work It Out. And you're still in the midst of writing that song, but it literally made me start crying. And because it made me think you were thinking about what happened with everything, and you were thinking about me and my feelings, and you were just, like, acknowledging them, and you're like, please just work it out with me. I'm going to change this around.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote most of my new EP while I was an inpatient.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff I was writing and I still write about are based upon recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been really rocky since then. There's been a lot of things that I've had to learn and that you've had to learn, and we've had to learn together.
So a lot of what you hear from us from this podcast is around that dynamic. Like, that's kind of our biggest struggle in our relationship, is how we work as, like, I'm a sober person, you're in recovery. We're just trying to figure.
Yeah, because most people think when you get sober, like, it's you're healed, like,
mm-hmm.
everything's fine. But, like, I'd been damaging a lot of, like, my brain and a lot of things for so long that it takes time to repair. And just like a relationship, it takes time to repair after you've done some damage. And so that's mm-hmm. where we're at. We've been through a lot of ups, a lot of downs. I think just like any normal relationship, we're trying to figure it out. And I think that's why we're starting this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk to couples who have been together, who are brand new at this as well. We want to talk to everybody that's in relationships and made it work. And we want to find out why some things were harder for us to latch onto, and why some things were just kind of common sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really curious just to know what other people in other relationships go through, because I feel like our situation's kind of unique, but doesn't mean that everything we experience is unique, and other people might be going through similar stuff too. Our friends just don't post a whole lot on Facebook about anything bad, right? You know, like, they're not going to post
social
about
media
that.
In general. It's like you're posting the good stuff. Yeah, you're not posting, like, the bad stuff.
Cute pictures of you guys kissing on the beach on vacation, or
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're not posting the real stuff, like the real stuff that we want to talk about.
Yeah. And we want to talk about it because I think
we can learn from each other.
We could learn from each other, and we could just normalize, like, what's happening, and maybe not make it seem so extreme.
I mean, imagine, yes.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think when you're alone in a room, right, a situation can get blown out of proportion. But if you realize, like, that's just so normal, maybe it's, like, not something you freak out about.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, imagine how much you can learn from a couple who've been together for 25 years.
Yeah.
25, 30 years. They've been through most of everything that you are struggling with or that will struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to know these things. So I think that's what we're going to get out of it as well.
Totally.
The listener is going to get out just as much.
Yeah. We're excited to bring that to you guys. If you guys know of couples that you want us to interview, please
questions.
Send us yes.
Yes.
Please just
bring
send us an email. Let us know. Alex and I will include both of our emails in the show notes, and just let us know who you want to interview. We have a list of people that we specifically want to interview. Like, Alex's parents are still together and have been together his whole life, which I think would be really cool to ask them. And they've been through kind of similar situation with his dad going to rehab and his mom, you know, sticking with him through that. And I think they've been a super big support in our relationship as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every week, we're going to interview a new couple. That's the format. We're going to get into it, get real intimate. That's the show.
Yes.
And we're just going to peel back the layers and have them tell us, like, how they make it work. And hopefully that will give you guys inspiration on how to make your situation work or, yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to...
I can't wait to meet people and just talk to them about stuff.
There's so much I want to know.
Yeah. We're going to play fun games. We're going to keep it fresh and fun. We're going to bring coffee.
It's not going to be corny.
Snacks. We're just going to hang out. And we're going to really,
I mean, maybe a little corny.
Maybe. Because it's couples.
It's
like,
it's
we're going to get, like,
advice.
Cheesy a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not Dr. Phil.
Couples are strange.
I promise.
Yeah. We're not doctors.
Is,
we're not professionals.
This is
we're not
real.
Therapists.
This is real. Real people talking to real people.
Yeah. So that's all we got for you. That was a quick intro. You'll probably hear more about Alex and I and our dynamic of our relationship.
Or not.
Throughout the episodes.
You know.
Yeah.
If I decide to let you know.
Yeah. If you really want to know about everything we went through during Alex's withdrawals and that whole coming out situation, you can actually hear the whole story.
Yeah. Check out my podcast at The Sound of Recovery.
Yeah. It's all on there. On his first episode, we talk about it and get into it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, if you want to go listen, Alex talks about music and its importance in recovery on his own podcast.
Yes.
So anyway, this is all for us for now, and we will have a new couple next week to interview and get intimate with, and we're excited.
See ya.
See ya.